Chapter 2. The only thing that my uncle had to eat was porridge, and all he drank was a glass of small beer. He didn't talk very much, and he wouldn't leave me in the house on my own. When he asked me questions, I tried to get him to talk to me about my future. I found a lot of books in the house that were written in Latin and English. I read in the afternoon, ate porridge, and drank beer. I was happy enough, but there was something about my uncle that I didn't trust. I trusted him even less when I found out that one of the books had a message written in it. It was in my father's handwriting and said, "To my brother Ebenezer, on his 5th birthday." I was so confused because my father was supposed to be the younger brother, and I thought it was strange that he should be able to write like a man before he was 5. Was my brother quick to learn? I asked my uncle when I couldn't get the thought of the message out of my head. "No, I was much quicker. I could read as soon as he could," he told me, which puzzled me even more. "Were you twins?" I asked. My uncle jumped off his chair and grabbed me by the collar. I was much stronger than he was and wasn't scared at all by him. "Why are you asking me that?" he demanded. "What do you mean? Let go of my jacket. This is no way to behave," I told him calmly. "You shouldn't talk to me about your father. I loved him," he said. But his words were hollow. I thought that my uncle was dangerous and insane. I was the poor lad that was the rightful heir to the House of Shaw, and my uncle was the evil uncle. Why else would he let a beggar into his house if he didn't have something to fear? He didn't talk to me for a while after that, and just sat staring at me as he smoked his pipe. Finally he spoke. "David, before you were born, I promised your father to give you £40, Scots." I knew that he was lying to me, and he had made the whole story up. A Scots pound was the same as an English shilling, which meant that the 40 Scots pounds was actually only 2 English pounds. However, I didn't want my uncle to know I was onto him, so I said, "Oh, thank you, sir. Pounds sterling, I believe." "That's what I said, pounds sterling," he lied again. "Go outside and I will get it for you," he told me. I did as he asked, smiling to myself that he thought I was so easy to fool. He called me back in and counted out 37 golden guinea pieces into my hand. The rest was in small change in his hand, but he couldn't bring himself to give it to me, and put the change in his pocket instead. "There, don't say a word. I did what I promised," he said, as I looked at the money in my hand, and wondered what had made my uncle suddenly feel so generous, especially as he was such a miser. He asked me to help with the house and garden in return for the money, which I was happy to do. "Go to the stair tower and get me the chest from the tower. It is full of papers," he said, as he gave me a rusty key out of his pocket. "Can I have a light?" I asked. "No lights in my house," he half shouted back at me. I went outside to the tower. The wind was blowing hard and moaning in the trees. The tower was at the end of the unfinished wing of the house. When I reached the door, I slipped the key into the lock and was just about to open the door when thunder shook the whole sky. Lightning cracked across it and lit the sky like wildfire. Then it was suddenly black again. I stumbled into the tower now, half blind from the flash of lightning. I felt for the wall with my hands and the steps with my feet. I eventually found them both and began to climb the stairs. The house was 5 stories tall, so there was a long stair to climb. There were holes in the wall that I was scared of falling through. The steps were uneven, and every time the lightning flashed, it lit the staircase. As I tried to climb the stairs, I thought that my uncle had sent me there to try and kill me. As I got higher, bats flew down and beat my body and face as they tried to get out of the tower. The tower wasn't round either, but square, and every corner step was a different shape to join the flights of stairs, making them even harder to climb. When I got to each turn, I stopped and felt for the corner step with my hands. I had reached where a turn should have been, but when I reached out, there was nothing there. I turned around and made my way back down the stairs. As I got halfway down the tower, it began to rain. By the time I reached the bottom of the tower, the rain was a storm. I went back out of the tower and looked at the house. My uncle was standing in the doorway until there was a great crash from the storm. He was so scared that he rushed back into the house. I followed him and found him sitting in the kitchen. I walked up behind him and clapped my hands on his shoulders, crying, "Aha!" My uncle tumbled to the floor with a whimper and lay there like a dead man. I took his keys and opened the cupboards. I needed to find something to defend myself with, because my uncle was trying to kill me. I found an old sword in one of the cupboards, hid it under my jacket, and then I turned back to my uncle. "Come on, get up," I said. "Are you alive?" he cried, as he sat up. "I am, no thanks to you," I said. My uncle looked ill as he got off the floor and sat in his chair. I asked him why he was trying to kill. "I will tell you in the morning," he promised. I locked him in his room that night and got the keys. I slept in the kitchen by the fire that night. The storm raged all night and the wind was still strong and bitter the next morning, but it was sunny and warm in the afternoon. I sat by the fire and thought about what I should do. My uncle wanted me dead and I had to protect myself. I thought about how I could trick my uncle and use his own mistrust, treachery, and violence against him. I went upstairs to let my uncle out of his room, and we sat down to have breakfast together. "Don't you have anything to say to me?" I asked. "You thought I was a thick country boy, and I thought you were a decent man. It seems we were both wrong. What has made you so frightened of me that you would cheat me and try to kill me?" "It was just a joke," he murmured. I looked at him until he said, "I will tell you everything after breakfast." I could see that he was working on a lie to tell me, but before he could think of one, there was a knock at the door. I told my uncle to stay in the kitchen, and I went to open the door. There was a boy in sea clothes standing there. He had a letter for my uncle. I brought him into the house and made him breakfast. My uncle read his letter and then gave it to me to read. It was from Elias Hoseason, the captain of a trading brig that my uncle was in business with. My uncle told me that he would take me to meet Hoseason and then to meet Mr. Rankeillor, his lawyer. "If you don't believe me, then you will believe my lawyer," he said. I agreed to go. The cabin boy came with us. His name was Ransom, and he had been at sea since he was 9. He had tattoos and swore constantly, but he was more like a schoolboy than a man. He took us to the inn where Hoseason was. The room was so hot that I couldn't stay in it. I had never seen the sea before, and I was anxious to see it, so I left my uncle with Hoseason. This was my first mistake. If I had not left my uncle alone with his friend, I would not have suffered so many misfortunes. I walked down the beach, and then to watch the men who were working on the ships. There were seamen in a boat that looked more like pirates than traders. They were all heading to Hoseason's ship. Ransom was still at the inn, and when I went back to it, he asked me for a drink. I got him something to eat and drink, and we sat together for lunch. I asked the landlord of the inn about Mr. Rankeillor. He said the lawyer was a good and honest man. "Are you a relative of Ebenezer's?" he asked me. "No," I lied. "I thought not, although you look like Mr. Alexander," he said. It was clear that not even the landlord liked my uncle. "Ebenezer is a wicked man, and there are many that want to see him swinging from a rope. He has thrown Jennet Closton out of her home too. He was once a fine man, but that was before we all found out that he had his brother killed," the landlord said. "Why would he have him killed?" I asked. "For the House of Shores. Alexander was the older brother," he said, and walked away from me. Now I knew why my uncle was trying to kill me for certain. Then my uncle called my name, and I went outside to find him. I saw Captain Hoseason standing in the road. "Sir, Mr. Balfour tells me great things of you, and I like the look of you. I wish I were here longer so that we could become good friends, but I have to leave soon. Come with me while I wait for the tide and have a drink on my ship," the captain said to me. If I were as wise as I am now, I would have turned him down, but I wanted to see the inside of a ship more than anything. Therefore, I agreed on the condition that I would be brought ashore close to Mr. Rankeillor's house. He slipped his arm through mine and walked with me to the ship. "What can I bring you from the Carolinas? Any friend of Mr. Balfour's can ask me for anything he wants. A roll of tobacco? Indian featherwork? The skin of a wild beast? A stone pipe? A mockingbird that makes the noise of a cat?" Captain Hoseason said. I thought that I had found a good friend in the captain as he helped me into the boat. I didn't think that it was a mistake to go, and I was so happy to be in a boat as we pulled towards the ship across the sea. It was a surprise how I felt as the boat bobbed on the waves and how low we were. I was impressed by how big the ship looked as we got closer to it. The captain asked me questions, but I couldn't hear him, so I answered him at random. When we were alongside the brig, Hoseason said that he and I were going to be the first aboard. The tackle was lowered from the main yard, and a few moments later we were whirled upwards to the deck of the ship. The captain was waiting for me there, and I felt dizzy, but he slipped his arm through mine again and began to show me around the ship. "But where is my uncle?" I said suddenly. "Well, that's the point," the captain said. I ran back towards the boat, only to see that it was already going back to the shore with my uncle in it. "Help! Murder!" I shouted. My voice rang around the harbour. My uncle turned to look at me with a look of cruelty and terror. The sailors on the ship grabbed me and pulled me back from the side of the ship. I struggled against them, but I was struck with what felt like a thunderbolt, saw a great flash of fire, and fell senseless on the deck.